about running on summer just to try to earn a dollar.
Hey everybody, this is RJ from the Helping Friendly Podcast. I'm here with my friend Jonathan.
Hi.
And I'm here with the rest of my spirit family at a KOA campground in central Pennsylvania. What's up, spirit family?
Woo!
Hey.
Everyone's trying not to be depressed. Matt is on the phone. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for calling in. Matt, you were in the campground last night, so let's start with you. Tell us what it was like getting in and being there and the news spreading and all that.
It was good. We were actually incredibly prepared, probably more so than like any other festival that I've gone to. So it was kind of a shame that things didn't work out. But we had met up with a couple of different pairs of friends in Corning and got in, and we got our campsite set up, and we had like a really great spot, super close to the venue, exactly where we wanted to be. Our campsite was awesome. We had all the gear we need. We felt like if it rained, we were set. If it was sunny, we were set. It was all looking good. Drank a couple beers, and we were kind of waiting for sound check to start and sitting under our tent because it was really hot. It was really sunny, so we were kind of waiting to the last minute. And then we had packed up a little mini cooler with some beers, and we're going to walk over to where the venue was, because the rumor was that the venue was going to actually open either during sound check or right after sound check.
Okay.
So we were looking to like, hey, you know, go over your sound check and then go in and explore, check out all the art installations and maybe eat some food and stuff.
And that sounds like a solid plan.
Literally, I was on Twitter just looking to see if anybody who was sitting over by the gate said anything about it opening or, you know, sound check, like being ready to go or anything, and saw the statement from, it came out first from Watkins Glen. They shared the New York State Department of Health statement about it. And it was weird for us. It was so surreal that, like, I was reading and I was telling other people at our campsite, and they were actually making fun of me and, like, basically just, like, laughing at me and being like, you know, stop joking with us. You don't understand what you're reading and stuff. And I had to, like, show them my phone that this statement was there before people believed us. And it was really weird because you could tell that like, most people around didn't know. Everybody was still walking around and happy. They didn't make fish.com didn't put anything up for 10 more minutes. The bunny didn't make an announcement for like 15-20 minutes. And then you could see on people's faces that people were starting to find out and sort of like hurrying back to their campsite and trying to figure stuff out. And then when they came on the bunny, I made sure that we had a Bluetooth speaker, and we were at a prime location, like in an intersection, so I made sure I turned it up as loud as I possibly could and just kind of played it for people. And people were sort of stopped at our campground, like in disbelief. So it was weird because, like, you know, I was in Coventry too.
Yeah.
And as opposed to that, or any other festival where something goes wrong, or like, you know, if they have to cancel a night of music because there's lightning, you're like, well, there's lightning right there. You know, we wish that it would go away, but we see that it's there, and we, you know, we understand that they have to do this stuff. It seemed like everything was set and everything was perfect, and literally this kind of intangible thing of like, well, the water that they need to run the festival is potentially bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are sitting around, it's like, well, we have enough water for our campsite.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's the filtered water program, they brought in that water. So, but then when you start to talk about the House of Cards, which is like the permits and the health, you know, department looking at the vendors and all the requirements they have to have, it seems like it's one of those things that couldn't be further from Fish's responsibility and just took the whole thing out. So,
yeah.
So we, luckily, kind of similar to Coventry, when everybody just sort of went, well, we'll just walk in, most people seem to just say, like, well, we're just going to party here tonight and, you know, have a good time and make the best of it. I would say maybe, like, from where I was standing, what I could see, maybe like 25% of the cars left right away. Some of the people at our campsite left because they were just like, you know, we can go get a hotel room, you know, before it was going to start raining overnight. And they're like, you know, our stuff won't get wet or whatever. We had way too far to drive. And so we stayed there.
Yeah.
There was a duo that played like, I don't know what they were called or anything, but they said they played in the campground before. I think we actually heard them at Magna Ball, like a guy and a girl that were playing, you know, Fish covers and stuff. And there was a big crowd that gathered around. So, you know, there was a fun party. It was pretty lively, people sharing beer and food and stuff like that. But just so was surreal when we got up this morning and just had to leave.
Yeah.
But the venue, the people working there, you know, the people walking to everything, the police, everybody was like very, very helpful and very cool. And so, you know, there's not bad feelings towards anybody. It's just, you know, it's Mother Nature, man, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were about 30 minutes away getting gas, I think, for the last time when we got the news, but we ended up going to a campground, and now we're at a different campground in central Pennsylvania, as I mentioned. But so heartbreaking for everyone.
That's pretty much the term I would use.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
And listening to Matt tell his little story about it, you know, was just living through it again. Uh-huh. And so that was, yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So obviously, like, heartbreaking for us. I can't imagine how the band must feel. I mean, the whole band, they must be completely crushed. I just can't imagine, like, being in their shoes. Just because, you know, for them, this is their... They've been planning it. They knew way more about what was going to happen than we did, right? And they probably had a lot of cool stuff planned. And, you know, they love playing music for their fans. But... So Jonathan, you were describing earlier, for people who are curious, like, in terms of the financial implications for the band, like, yeah, it's all speculation, but so they left, they like took off and went somewhere in like a bunch of helicopters or something, but they're gonna, like, they themselves as a band won't lose money, right?
I mean, there's money left on the table. They're not gonna make what they were going to make, but there was, you know, guarantees and stuff. All that stuff is, you know, pretty standard, and the promoter will pay the band X and all of this, and then the promoter is going to lean on insurance for everything, and you know, they've said something about refunds for us.
Yep.
Though nothing in the way of details, but I'm sure that'll come out. There's no question they're working hard to figure this out. They probably worked extremely hard, harder than many of us will probably ever know, to try to make this work.
Yeah.
And then once they realized it couldn't, the people in charge shifted gears and tried to figure out what's next and how they recover from this.
Yeah.
For us and themselves.
So one thing I should say is I heard from Brando at Cash or Trade today, and he wants to come on and talk about the Cash or Trade kind of role in what's going to happen, because so many tickets changed hands, or wristbands rather, and passes and stuff. So we're going to hopefully have him on tomorrow or Sunday, whenever he has sort of more definitive information about how people are going to recoup the you know, costs of the stuff they paid for through Cash or Trade. So I'm sure we'll know more about tomorrow, probably, about everything. So the band, so that's terrible. It's terrible for them. It's terrible for us as fans. So many people, I mean, we're lucky because we're sitting in an RV with our plugged into electric in a rainstorm, and we're sitting here drinking beer and talking on the internet to Matt. So we have it pretty good compared to people who flew from the West Coast.
There's a whole pack of people I saw a picture today of Japanese fans who were on site at the time of the announcement. I mean,
it's insane.
You almost literally couldn't come any further.
Yeah.
Right? Just the other side of the world.
I had friends who had flown in from Denver. And they were like, they had to change planes in Newark to fly to Corning, and I texted them. They got the text message when they landed there and couldn't even just get their stuff and fly back because their checked bags were already on their way to Corning. So they wound up having to go all the way, and now they have to figure out how to get home. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, we were frustrated because we put in all of the effort to actually get in there, and we were set up and ready and everything like that. But it's like, you know, people who, you know, like that, who had to travel way further. Even you guys with the RV, I don't know what's going to happen with the RV. I know I saw people sharing screenshots from emails where RV renters were already saying oh, such your festival's canceled, but don't expect a refund.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of what I'm assuming. Yeah.
There's that. I mean, and then the other thing I think we really, really need to shine a light on is all of the vendors that were participating in this, they're going to lose some serious money on this. I know the Skinny Pancake from Burlington that was doing a restaurant, what I was told by somebody last night was that they had shut their restaurant down for several weeks in order to come and do this, because they knew that it would be such a huge event for them. They could make money and they would get attention and everything like that. And there was actually an article article in the Burlington Free Press this morning that, you know, they're like, we need to talk to our financial people and our insurance company and stuff like that because we have no idea what this is going to do to our business.
Yeah.
So there's some dire situations out there. So, I mean, missing a fish concert is really kind of like, you know, the least of our concerns. But I think collectively as a community, the band, the management, the artist, you know, the artists, the food, the beer, us, the fans. I mean, the level of preparedness was incredible, and it's just all gone to waste.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there'll be some kind of way to support the vendors or something in the coming days. And I guess, like you said this, Matt, but it's worth repeating. There's not really, there's no one to blame. Like, there's, you know, we as humans are hardwired to look for a villain and try to, like, blame our bad situations on someone or something. But, like, there's just, you know, it's not the band's fault. It's not the city's fault. It's not the venue's, you know, it's no one's fault.
I blame Obama. Just,
Jonathan blames Obama, which I think is fair. Like, you know,
he definitely had a role to play here. I'm sure I can prove it.
So, what else, Matt, did you hear about, sort of, Jonathan was talking about the band and, like, the promoter and how that relationship works. Do you have any additional thoughts on that piece?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question? I lost you for just a second.
The, like, Jonathan was talking about the promoter and the insurance and how that all works with the band, and I'm just curious if you have more thoughts on that.
In terms of the business stuff, I don't know how that works. I know that, I mean, I'm sure that they have insurance and everything, that, you know, that's why you have to get this kind of stuff, and I think that the landscape of throwing a festival right now is such that these things can be canceled by a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, somebody, you know, somebody, I think it was Torfish on Twitter, who's actually works in the industry, was sharing some things last night. He was like, you know, you could have a sustained wind of like 35 miles per hour for a little while and they can shut it down. Like, anything like that could happen. So I think they're prepared and the band's okay. I think, it, you know, like I said before, I think it, my concern is more for everybody else that has put in time and money for this. I mean, it sucks for the band because, you know, they didn't get to play and they didn't get to, you know, put the art out into the world that they were prepared to do. But, you know, I don't know. And I have no idea, but I hope they're okay. And I hope that doesn't mean the ticket prices are going to go up or something like that.
Yeah. So Dix is going to be lit, as the kids say. But do you think anything else is going to happen? Like, what happens next in terms of music? Like, do we see additional shows in the fall? Do you think they'll do something between summer and fall, or between Dix and fall, or is it just like see you on tour?
No, they're gonna show up at Dix. They're gonna kill it. And we'll have fall tour not very long after that. You know, is it a month later? And then, you know, and hopefully that will also be great.
Yeah. I guess they're, you know, a lot of people were saying, like, can't they just, well, I started,
yeah, you did.
I said they should go to the Glens Falls Civic Center, and I have no idea what's going on there, or if it still exists or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people had a lot of suggestions about where Fish could just move their concerts, but it did, like, I think a lot of us thought, like, can't they just, like, go to the barn and, like, play together and, like, webcast it, or, like, I mean, all this stuff is super logistically difficult, obviously, but I think a lot of people are just wanting to see some music this weekend, but they can see other music.
There is other music happening. What is it, what are they calling
they're calling
Disc Jam and some other
Disc Jam and the Purple Pig Festival are doing something called Knuckleball. Two or three nights.
That's up in like Naples.
Yeah, it's up north of Watkins Glen, I think. They said that they will have a surprise musical act on Saturday night that will make your curveball worries go away or something like that, which is kind of unfair for them to say that because it's just like a little bit of a tease, but good for them for getting on it and taking advantage of the attention and marketing. But Matt, any thoughts on where we go? Did you agree with Jonathan? Like, no more shows, just see you this fall?
Yeah, I would be surprised if that would be very, very, very surprised if that happened. I know I'm going to try and see more shows because of this. I know some other people were saying the same thing. Like, I'm gonna get back to work and save the PTO day that I was going to use on Monday and try to spend that somewhere else.
Yep.
You know, I think just in terms of this, them trying to do some sort of makeup, I mean, logistically, that can't happen. If they try to play somewhere four people, there's no place that's going to hold the amount of people that were supposed to be there. People get shut out. You know, if they tried to do some sort of private streaming thing or something, then everybody has to be able to watch that.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, they've done that last night. We were in no position to watch over some campground. I mean, and the other thing is, just to get back to, like, the band and what they were experiencing and everything, like, there's no fucking way they wanted to play last night.
Yeah.
They were they were devastated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that I think was a interesting sign. I mean, they rolled in on all the tour buses.
Yeah.
They rolled out when the announcement was made on one tour bus very, very quickly.
Okay.
I mean, I can't even imagine what the discussion was backstage, but they were probably livid and sad and, you know, just didn't, their hearts wouldn't have been in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Well, our hearts are in going to more Phish concerts, which is cool. Jonathan and I and our spirit family today were, our spirits were lifted, I think, by listening back to the double chocolate night of Baker's Dozen, particularly the Chalk Dust, You Sexy Thing. So we're going to include that here because we encourage people to listen to that because it's so amazing still. And it's a good way to chase the curveball blues away.
I kind of looked out the window and cried a little during it too.
Everyone can cry a little. It's fine. You know, like Kate, you said, someone said, like, not the kind of crying you were expecting to do at the Phish show. I was expecting to do it during like a hood jam or something, but you know, comes in different forms sometimes. Any last thoughts before we play people a little music and go back to being sad?
I love Phish and I know they love us. And so we'll try it again. We just have to try it again.
Matt, anything else?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just pick yourself up. Try to have some fun. Remember that things are, you know, it's not the end of the world. There's other people out there that have it all for us, including the people of, you know, Watkins Glen and the Finger Lakes region that have lost houses and stuff like that. I will say it was really, really positive to see the very quick action by a lot of people to say, all right, let's get food to food banks. Let's, you know, maybe go volunteer somewhere for the weekend and stuff like that. So it's good to see that was what immediately came out of this instead of a bunch of anger and, you know, lashing out and things like that. So I'm going to be a dick, and I am really thinking those shows are going to be killer now. I think they've got 2 weeks, and who knows what they're going to do now.
Yeah. You guys are going to Dick's, right? So our friends Kate and Jeremy are going. Jonathan and I are not going. Maddie, you're not going, right?
Nope.
So we will be couch touring or something.
This is going to be Maddie's first shows back in, what, 2 years?
2016.
2 years, yeah.
2 years. So that's going to be pushed off to Hampton, I guess.
Yeah, but instead you're at a KOA campground with us outside Harrisburg.
There's no place else I'd rather be.
All right, Matt, go back to hanging out with your family. We'll see you soon. See everybody soon. I think our next episode will be a quick hit after Dick's Night One, unless we decide to do something in the meantime. So thanks everybody for listening, and enjoy this Chalk Dust. Just keep on rocking if you can. Take care of each other and be good. Thank you.
quiet mask. I'm getting it clearly through alternate paths. So mixed in with the signal. Thank you.
We'll be right back. thing. Where did you come from, baby? Yeah.
Oh.